Welcome back to the show. In this episode, I'm not going to be talking about as much as I did in the last one, but I am going to be talking about the new Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I'm very excited to talk about because I have been anticipating this movie and I think it's going to be really good. I'm also going to be talking about Home Sweet Home Alone, the new Home Alone kind of reboot, remake, not really remake, but continuation of the Home Alone series, which came out on Disney Plus. I am also going to be talking about Clifford the Big Red Dog, the live-action remake of the Clifford book / TV series, and then Olaf Presents, which is a new series of shorts where Olaf from Frozen basically reenacts the different Disney movies like Aladdin, Tangled, and all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, let's get into the episode.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, first thing I'm going to talk about today is the Disney Plus Day, which I believe was on the 12th. If not that, then it was on the 11th, but I'm pretty sure it was on the 12th. And first things first, we have Jungle Cruise on Disney Plus now, and Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which I have already watched because I really do love that movie. But if you haven't seen it, either of those movies, definitely go watch it because it's on Disney Plus now. And if you have seen them, go watch them again, especially Shang-Chi, because I really do love that movie, and I just showed my mom that movie a couple days ago. But, yeah, I'm excited that those movies are on there now, and also Home Sweet Home Alone is on there, as well as Olaf Presents. But the big thing about Disney Plus Day is that we got a lot of Marvel news. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't pay attention to anything other than the Marvel stuff because, yeah, I'm a Marvel fan. So that's the big thing that mattered to me. But we got a lot of stuff announced, like X-Men 94, which from what I know, the cartoon series of X-Men ended in 19, or did I say 94? It's 97. The cartoon series ended in 1997, and it's basically just a continuation of that, which I have not watched that series, but maybe I'll go back and watch some of it if it is available on Disney Plus, and then I'll obviously watch the newer stuff. We also have Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is supposed to be Tom Holland's Spider-Man. It's MCU canon, and it's going to be a cartoon about basically his origin story in the MCU. Because we've seen the origin story of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. We've seen the origin story of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. But we haven't seen the origin story of Tom Holland's Spider-Man. So I'm definitely interested to see what they do with that. Let's see. We also got the announcement of What If Season 2, which we already knew was coming. As well as Season 2 of Loki, which we, again, already knew was coming. Sorry, I got hiccups all of a sudden. I get hiccups during the podcast all the time. It's really annoying. But we also got a little bit of a look at Secret Invasion, which in the comics is essentially having Marvel characters secretly being Skrulls, which if you don't know what Skrulls are, then you haven't been paying attention to Marvel at all. Just kidding. But Skrulls are essentially these shape-shifting beings, which we were introduced to in Captain Marvel. And also Spider-Man Far From Home. But we got a little look at Nick Fury in this series. Just a brief little glimpse. And he is not wearing his eye patch. And he also has kind of scratch marks over the eye where he would typically have the eye patch. And I might sound like an idiot here, but I don't know if the scratches were always that prevalent, you know, like, I don't know. It seems a little weird to me. I think he could possibly be Talos, That little look that we got could possibly be Talos, but I think it's just going to be Nick Fury at the end of the day. Last time we saw him, spoiler alert, I believe was in Far From Home, and he was in space, which, am I thinking of the right thing here? I think that would be S.W.O.R.D., because in the comics, S.W.O.R.D. was kind of like in space, kind of a space based organization, but I could be fucking wrong. I don't know. We also got the confirmation of Echo, which I believe is supposed to be a spinoff of the Hawkeye series with a certain character called Echo. Don't know much about that character, but as far as I know, it's supposed to be a spinoff of that. Sorry, I got a bit of a cold going here. Also got a little title card of Ironheart and I Am Groot, which we already knew about those. Nothing too crazy there, as well as the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which all of those will be, pretty much anything that they announce with this is going to be on Disney Plus, as far as I know. The one thing that we learned is that Agatha Harkness is going to be getting her own series called Agatha House of Harkness. I'm interested to see what they do with that, but I'm also a little hesitant. But we'll see how it ends up. Another thing is Marvel Zombies, which part of me is hoping that they don't go off of the zombies in the What If episodes and just kind of do their own thing with it, because I want them to be a little bit closer to the comic book adaptation of Marvel Zombies, but we'll see what they do there. We got some special looks at She-Hulk as well as Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight. She-Hulk looks the most interesting to me out of all of the ones we got special looks at. I don't know. I like the idea of Tatiana Maslany as Jennifer Walters slash She-Hulk. We got a look at Bruce Banner slash Professor Hulk, essentially, being in the series. But I don't know. The whole Professor Hulk thing slash Bruce Banner is really confusing me right now. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Shang-Chi, he shows up in a hologram as the regular Bruce Banner, still in that kind of arm harness that he's in after the snap. But in this, he shows up as Professor Hulk and Bruce Banner. Don't really know what's up with that, but we shall see. Out of all the special looks that we've gotten, I'm most excited for that. Ms. Marvel looks pretty interesting. I'm excited to see what they do with that. Moon Knight also looks really interesting and really gritty. Kind of reminds me of like Daredevil or something like that. But out of all of them, She-Hulk looks the most kind of new and fresh to me. So I'm very interested to see how that show ends up. Then we got a special look at Hawkeye. We got like pretty much a full scene of that show, kind of in a car chase. I'm excited to see Haley Steinfeld as, oh shoot, what's the character's name again? Oh frick, I'm really struggling to remember what her character's name is now. It'll come back to me. Come on, I can't remember at the moment, but. Yeah, I'm excited to see that show. It's coming out soon, so we don't have to wait much longer for it. And that'll be pretty much the last thing until Spider-Man Far From Home comes out. Or not Far From Home. Oh, my God. No Way Home. But I think that's it. I've probably forgotten something, but that's all I see at the moment. I don't know. I'm really excited for a lot of Marvel stuff going forward. I really can't wait. The only thing I don't quite know about is what they're going to do with the Ten Rings. Because if you've seen Shang-Chi, Ten Rings will return. I don't know if they're going to include them in some sort of movie or if they're going to have their own Disney Plus show. But I'm definitely interested to see what they do with that going forward. Again, I really love Shang-Chi. It's probably going to end up on my top 10 favorite of this year. But a lot of interesting stuff to think about and to kind of get excited for going forward. I didn't go too deep into everything, but, you know, if you want to see all of this stuff that I mentioned, if you have Disney Plus, go watch the kind of Marvel thing that they have for Disney Plus Day. And if you don't, a lot of it got released onto Twitter and onto YouTube, so you could also see it there if you really wanted to. But I'm excited for a lot of the Marvel stuff, and I didn't really get into any Pixar stuff or anything like that. They had kind of a special thing on Disney Plus for Pixar as well. But from what I heard, it's basically just what we've already seen. The one thing I will say is that we got to look at the new Baymax kind of short series, and I am very excited for that. We kind of got this little scene of Baymax running the cafe, and that just looks really funny to me. I was barista for almost a year, so just watching him pump the syrup into the drink really slowly and struggle to put that lid on was just hilarious to me. I'm really excited to watch that because Big Hero 6 is one of my favorite Disney movies, if not my favorite, honestly. But a lot of really cool things to be excited about here. I just want to know when, like, certain things are going to come out. I'll have to look into that a little bit to see what certain release dates are supposed to be. I'm sure a lot of it still kind of is to be announced. But next up is Hawkeye on Disney Plus. So from what I saw in that little teaser kind of thing that we had on Disney Plus with the Disney Plus Day, I'm really excited because there's a really good one shot in there, and it just looks like it's shot really well and just looks like a lot of fun. So Hawkeye has always been kind of one of my favorite underdogs from the MCU. So we'll see how that ends up, and I'll definitely be reviewing it once it comes out. I have a feeling I'll probably do it like week to week. If not that, then like bi-weekly. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into talking about some movies and some TV shows. Alright, let's talk about the Spider-Man No Way Home official trailer. Before, we only got the teaser trailer, but now we have the official one. And I was just so blown away when I first saw it. Honestly, within the first like half an hour of it being posted online, I watched it maybe like 15 times. I don't know. I've definitely watched this trailer more times than I've watched the teaser trailer. And there's just so much for me to be excited about. I will say one thing, and that is in the Brazil trailer, we get a shot of the lizard where it looks like he's being punched by something, but there's nothing there punching him. And a lot of people are speculating that that's going to be one of the other Spider-Men, because you do get Tom Holland's Spider-Man in that shot, but he's essentially being punched by nothing. Which I was watching the Real Rejects stream, and Coy, he said that it was a sneeze, and I thought that was really funny. But yeah, go check out the Real Rejects. Go check out their reaction. They're awesome. Go check out Coy Jandra, I think that's how you say his last name. He has a series, I think it's with like Collider, where he goes comic book shopping with like different celebrities. Really cool series. But back to the trailer. Yeah, so in the Brazil version, we do get the lizard being punched by essentially a ghost, which, you know, I can only speculate along with other people that that's probably one of the other two Spider-Men. And it was just CGI'd out, so it wasn't spoiled that way. But yeah, in the opening shot of the trailer, we get Spider-Man looking real serious, and we kind of get some shots which look like they take place right after Far From Home. And yeah, first things first, Doctor Strange is talking about how Peter Parker botched the spell, and every time I hear that line, I'm just like, well, technically you did that, Doctor Strange, but okay. Yeah. And then we get some looks at the villains in this trailer. We get a look at all the confirmed villains for this movie. So we get a good look at Doc Ock, which we got with the teaser trailer. We get a good look of Green Goblin, which we did not get in the teaser trailer. We just got the pumpkin bomb. We get two looks at Green Goblin. We get his classic suit from the original Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi, Spider-Man. And then we also get the hooded version of him with the goggles, which we saw kind of a leak for. Which I think that costume will come later. I think he's going to have the original costume first and then kind of upgrade to his goggles and hood kind of costume. We also get a look at the lizard. It's mainly just in the shot with Electro, Sandman, and then you have Lizard there too, which the fight is taking place on a construction site, which they're actually doing construction to the Statue of Liberty because they're replacing the torch with the Captain America shield, which I think is really cool. But yeah, we also get a look at Sandman in that shot. So Sandman and Lizard are the only ones that don't quite get their like own segment of the trailer. You know, they're in the trailer with other characters, so they don't get their own like separate piece. But I'm not mad at it. We don't get a look at, I believe it's Thomas Hayden Church. I think that's the actor. Let me make sure real quick. Yep. The only look we get at Sandman is him in his giant Sandman form, kind of like he was in the ending of Spider-Man 3. But yeah, the real look I was excited about was Electro, because we have Jamie Foxx looking like Jamie Foxx, and it looks like he might have an arc reactor on too, maybe to kind of balance out his powers and make him look normal while also being able to use his powers. But we get a look at him with kind of his classic comic book look, except instead of kind of having like a costume version of the headpiece where it looks like lightning, it's actual electricity creating that mask, which I think looks really cool. And then we also get MJ falling, hopefully not to her death, and then Spider-Man going after her. But yeah, aside from that, I mean, we have footage of Doc Ock in kind of this little cage area, and Ned, MJ, and Peter are talking to him, which I'm thinking that the spell didn't make it so MJ, Ned, and Aunt May forgot that he's Spider-Man. Now, I am wondering if Happy is going to forget that he's Spider-Man, because he never specifically says it in the trailer. But we'll see about that. So I'm thinking that MJ and Ned are still going to know he's Spider-Man. And I think Aunt May is going to know that too. But maybe she won't. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see when the movie comes out. But I think they're going to still know. So I'm kind of happy about that. It would have been interesting if they went back to not knowing he was Spider-Man, but I kind of do prefer that they still know. I don't know, just some really cool moments in this trailer, and it makes me even more excited to watch the movie. I'm really happy they didn't spoil Tobey and Andrew being in the movie. I'm like 90% sure they're going to be in the movie, even if it's just for like a cameo or like a post-credit scene or something like that. But that footage from the Brazil trailer where the lizard is getting punched by a ghost, I think that's proof that there's another Spider-Man there, and they just cut him out of the trailer. And if it's not that, then it's a CGI thing. Like when they're trying to render him, they just messed it up. But it looks a little too clean to be a rendering issue, so I don't think it's that. But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really wanted to say on the trailer. It's been about a day since the trailer came out as of the time I'm recording this kind of review slash breakdown. But it's really not much else I want to say about it. If I would have recorded it after, like, minutes after it came out, I would have been overly excited and lost for words. And even now, I don't fully know what to say about it because it's, in my mind, pretty straightforward. I don't think there's too many, like, Easter eggs in there as far as I know. But I am going to have to go around and watch some maybe new rock stars or something like that because usually their breakdowns are really good. So maybe I'll have to go watch them and see if there's anything that I missed. But yeah, there's my review slash breakdown of the official trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. I am really a big fan of this trailer. Again, I'm happy they didn't spoil Tobey and Andrew being in it. That's one thing I just really hope they aren't going to do with any of the trailers, because I would rather wait to see the movie to see them in there. But yeah, that's all I have to say on that. Let's get on to talking about some movies. All right, The Simpsons in Plusiversary. So, basically, this is just kind of a little short, 5-minute short of The Simpsons, which they've had a lot of little short films before. But this one is commemorating the 2-year mark of Disney Plus being around, which, honestly, it feels like it's been a lot around longer, but I guess looking back on it, yeah, it's been 2 years now. And I really do love Disney Plus. I have my indifferences to Disney Plus sometimes, but I keep subscribing to it just to watch The Simpsons at least, because I've been very obsessed with The Simpsons lately. Back in July, I took a trip to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they had a Aztec Theater and a Quickie Mart around that area. And I went and watched a 4D kind of Simpsons experience at that Aztec Theater. I believe that's what they call it. I'm probably saying the wrong thing here. But yeah, they basically had like a 4D movie. So it was 3D on top of having like the feeling of bugs kind of walking around you under your seat. They had some parts where there was fire and it was a little bit warm. They had bubbles and all that kind of stuff. Definitely felt pretty Disney to me. I haven't been to Disney World in friggin' years and I really want to go back. But they have something called, I think it's Philhar Magic. And it's basically the same kind of thing where you have the 3D on top of having aspects like in real life kind of interacting with the little short movie that you're watching. But yeah, that was really fun. And I loved going to the Quickie Mart too. I grabbed a squishy and a donut. And I have this little Krusty the Clown keychain that I've had on my keys for quite a long time now. But I have been very obsessed with The Simpsons lately and just really love that show. And yeah, with this Disney Plus-iversary, we basically see a bunch of the Disney characters at Moe's Tavern, which I also, or not also, I always want to call the Drunken Clam, but that's from Family Guy. Moe's Tavern is the bar in Simpsons, and you see a bunch of the Disney characters. You see some obscure ones, and you see some like really popular ones. But one of the ones I saw in the background was Bubbles from Lilo and Stitch, which I really love that movie. That's one of my favorites. But we have like a bunch of the Disney princesses and the kind of the classic Mickey ones like Goofy and Donald and all that kind of stuff mixed in with the Simpsons characters. But it's a really cute short and just kind of commemorates the 2-year mark of The Simpsons and, The Simpsons being on Disney Plus and Disney Plus being around, which we did have the Disney Plus Day, which, you know, I talked about a little bit earlier. But if you're a fan of The Simpsons and you're a fan of Disney, definitely go check this out. A lot of Simpsons episodes kind of poked fun at Disney and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of ironic and funny to see them, you know, under the wing of Disney at this point. But yeah, I had a lot of fun watching it and thought it was really fun and cute. I love The Simpsons, so anything The Simpsons, I'll usually watch. I even watched, like, The Force Awakens or whatever. I forget exactly what they call it. I think it's, like, The Force Awakens from its nap or something like that. I watched all the Simpsons shorts that are on Disney Plus. I am going to be reviewing the Simpsons movie soon, but I want to watch more of the series before I review that. I am going to be reviewing the series at some point, but at the same time, there's like 31 to 32 seasons, so maybe I won't wait until I finish all of it to talk about. But I definitely want to get through a good majority of it until I'm ready to talk about it on the podcast. But I love The Simpsons. It's becoming one of my favorite shows. So watching this, it's just really fun to see The Simpsons interact with Disney characters and stuff like that. So if you're a fan of Disney, if you're a fan of Simpsons, definitely go watch this little short. It's 5 minutes, so it's not like it's gonna take up a bunch of your time or anything like that. But it's really fun, and I recommend it. All right, Olaf Presents is a mini-series on Disney Plus, obviously starring Josh Gad as Olaf. It's directed by Hiram Osmond and written by Jennifer Lee. And basically, he just kind of reenacts certain Disney movies. So the first episode, or the first short rather, is The Little Mermaid. The second is Moana. Third is Lion King. Fourth is Aladdin. And the fifth is Tangled. Then in the sixth episode, it's basically all of those in one episode. And I haven't seen Frozen 2, but it seems like it has a reenactment from Frozen 2 explaining the first movie. I was expecting these episodes to be a lot longer. It's, in a way, what I was thinking, and I've been watching some CinemaSins lately. If you haven't heard of CinemaSins, he basically does everything wrong with movies. So he points out everything wrong with the movie. And it reminded me a lot of CinemaSins, just with certain things he said about certain movies and them being really straightforward and just like, I don't know. It reminded me a lot of CinemaSins, but really, you only need to watch episode 6, Olaf Presents Compilation, because it has all of those episodes into one episode, or all the shorts into one episode. It's like 7 minutes each. Reenactment is about a minute each. So it seems a little redundant to me that they have 5 other ones when they put all of them into one episode or one short. I don't know, it just kind of seems weird to me. Like, if you're going to put all of the shorts into one larger short, then why are you going to make those one-minute ones in the first place? I don't know. That being said, pretty much most of them I thought were funny. Again, I haven't seen Frozen 2, but it seems to have a Frozen 2 kind of reference, also maybe a scene. I haven't seen that one, but it seems to have a scene from Frozen 2, and then just like him reenacting the other Disney movies that I listed before. I don't know, it's kind of cute. You have Olaf and Sven, and then the giant marshmallow kind of monster from the first movie reenacting stuff from the other Disney movies, pretty much wrapping up in a minute, literally a minute, 60 seconds. And again, I just find it really weird that they're going to release each of them separately, but then bring them all together for the sixth short. And it's about 7 minutes long for the last one. So it's just like, why are you going to have all of them separately when you can literally just watch all of them at the end, at the sixth short? That being said, I thought it was cute. I was expecting a lot more out of it. I thought he was going to reenact more of the movie. But I like Olaf as a character. I've never been that big of a fan of Frozen, but, you know, it is what it is. Honestly, I had fun with it. They're probably going to make more episodes, or shorts, rather. It's not great, but it's cute. And if you like Frozen, you're going to like that. And if you like Olaf, you're probably going to love it. But I don't know. I just still find it weird that there's kind of a compilation of all of the shorts into one 7-minute short. Not even basically. They're literally showing each one in one compilation. So it's just like, why release any of the other ones if you're just going to show it all in one? So that doesn't really make sense to me, to be honest. I'm sure it only took Josh Gad like 30 minutes at most to put this all together and the studio to put it all together. The only really difficult thing would be for the animators to put it all together, and even that I don't think would make or would take more than like a day or two, because animation isn't as easy as it looks. But at the same time, it's just like, I'm so confused as to why, you know, I'm fine with them making 1-minute shorts for each of them, having like Lion King and Aladdin and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's just like, if you're going to, with the last one, if you're going to put them all together, then why make each of them singular? Because then basically you're watching them all over again with one added one at the end, which looks like it's from Frozen 2, but I could be wrong. It might just be like an outtake from Frozen 2, or just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it was in Frozen 2. I really didn't watch it. I've seen bits and parts of it, but at the same time, it just seems really weird to me that they're going to have each short in a singular episode and then put them all together at the end. With something like Doug Days, Doug? Yeah. With the, Up Doug, the talking dog. They made those episodes its own thing. It doesn't take anything really from the movie itself up. It's a continuation of it. And they make them a lot longer. I'm not sure how much longer. I haven't seen every episode of it or every short from the series. But they do something a lot different with it, where it's like a continuation with Doug and I believe his name is Carl, right? That's the old man from Up. They do something different with it, with each episode, and it kind of has like a story to tell in each short, and they're a lot longer. They're about like 5 to 6 minutes each. But then you have something like this where it feels like they could have probably just put this together in a day. And, you know, with the animators, it looks visually like really good, and it basically looks like movie quality. Basically looks like it could have been plucked out from one of the Frozen movies. But at the same time, it's just like, this wouldn't have taken a lot of work, and they've really been advertising the Olaf Presents thing all over YouTube, because I've been getting a bunch of ads for it. And then it was just like, maybe not disappointing, because I wasn't expecting like to be blown away by these, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know, they didn't really do a whole lot with it. I could see them making more of them, but I don't know. I feel like they could have made them longer and involved more of the plot of these different movies into one short that Olaf is reenacting. But hey, it is what it is. It's easy to watch. It'll take you like fucking, I don't know, 6 to 7 minutes to watch all of them. And it's, you know, again, if you like Frozen, if you like Olaf, you'll probably enjoy it. But it just seems a little too easy and kind of like them. It's on Disney Plus, so I don't think people are going to download Disney Plus just to watch that. Sorry, I got hiccups all of a sudden. Again, I don't really think people are going to download Disney Plus just to watch Olaf Presents. I'm sure they might get some people downloading it just for that, but at the same time, like, if you have fans of Frozen and Olaf, they probably would download Disney Plus just to watch those at least. So I don't think it's making them much more money just to, like, shell out these shorts with Olaf. If anything, it's going to cost them more just with the animators and stuff like that to produce these episodes. But even then, like, it all takes place in the same area. Like, they don't have to do much with the background. The most they have to do is just with the characters on the screen. I'm not too impressed. I'm probably not going to watch them again, but it's cute. If you like Frozen, again, and if your kids like Frozen, if they like Olaf, then you'll probably watch them. But it just seems a little too easy and too cheap to, like, make these shorts with that character. Olaf is the most popular character from Frozen. And, you know, the second most popular would be Elsa and Anna. But I don't know. Something about it just feels really, really sloppily put together. You could have done a lot more with it. And you just kind of had him reenacting, like, the outline of what those movies are and kind of making fun of it a little bit, which I do like that. I thought it was funny that he was kind of making fun of those movies, in a sense. It really did feel like CinemaSins. Again, if you know anything about Everything Wrong With the series on YouTube, then it kind of feels like that to me. But at the same time, I feel like they just could have done a lot more with it. They could have had Olaf reenact more of the films and made it a little bit longer. Because, again, they're like a minute each. They go by so quickly. But, again, they're really funny. I enjoyed it. But it's nothing groundbreaking. And I can't believe I've been talking for over 11 minutes about this. But I kind of had a bit to say on it. But yeah, it's on Disney Plus now. If you want to watch Olaf Presents, I would recommend just skipping to the 6th episode, because there's no point in watching each one if you're literally just going to watch them again in a compilation. But there you go. There's my review for Olaf Presents. I'm not going to rank it or anything like that. It's a series of shorts, so I don't think it really deserves much of a ranking. But there you go. All right, my MCU tier list. So, basically, my tier list is going to be from S all the way down to D. And S is going to be the best. D is going to be the worst. Starting off at D, I have Captain Marvel. I really do not care for this film at all. I tried watching it like twice in the theaters. I've seen it maybe once or twice outside of theaters, and I've never really cared for this movie. I don't know. I don't hate Brie Larson. I don't hate the character of Captain Marvel. It's just something about this movie that feels very phase one to me. Not to say that phase one movies are bad, but phase one, just like storytelling, to the point where it's like a really, not a really satisfying origin film. You know the details of what Carol Danvers is going through, and you're just kind of watching her figure it out, even though we already know what's going on. And I would have rather preferred that we know what's going, like, we find out what's going on along with her, rather than her figuring it out and we already know. But yeah, that's why that's in my D tier. Also in D tier, I have The Incredible Hulk. I don't necessarily hate Edward Norton as the Hulk. I do feel like this film takes itself a little too seriously. with a lot of other Marvel movies, they have a lot of comedy mixed in with the seriousness that helps kind of balance the tones. But with this, they take it way too seriously. The plot isn't the greatest, and I can't lie and say that Edward Norton does a really great job as Bruce Banner. I think he does a really good job, but not a great job. And this is one of those Marvel movies that I don't rewatch at all because I just do not enjoy it. Also in D tier, I have Iron Man 2. I do not like the villain of this film. I think they could have done it better. I don't mind that they recasted Don Cheadle as War Machine / Rhodey. In fact, I kind of prefer him as Rhodey. But, this plot just kind of seemed all over the place. And, I don't know. They didn't take their time with this one. But I don't think it's a terrible film, but it's still going to be in my D tier because it's just not that great. And the last movie in my D tier, some of you might have guessed it by now, it is Thor: The Dark World. This is one of the worst MCU movies to me, at least. I don't know, I just was not impressed by this film whatsoever. It's very forgettable. And the villain is completely underwritten. The only parts that really stick out to me are the parts with Thor and Loki. Other than that, this is a very forgettable movie. Going on to my C tier, I have first Ant-Man and the Wasp. I really liked the first Ant-Man movie, but this one to me just felt kind of meh. Never really been too impressed with this film. It's fun and it has some elements to it that I really enjoy, but, it has a lot of flaws for sure. Other than that, it's not a terrible movie, so it's not my D tier, but definitely not one of my favorites. Also in C tier, I have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I used to really love this movie, but, upon just thinking about it more, there's a lot of flaws to this movie for sure. It has trouble balancing the comedic tones with the dramatic tones, especially having to do with Ego and Star-Lord. They oftentimes try to fill in comedy with those moments when they're trying to have dramatic moments as well. It's Guardians of the Galaxy, so it's a very comedic kind of movie, but at the same time, they have trouble balancing the tones properly. So that's why it's in the C tier for me. Obviously, I'm not going to be explaining too many of these too in depth because I didn't go and rewatch all these movies just to make this tier list. But this is just kind of how I felt when I was making the tier list. Also in the C tier, I have Avengers Age of Ultron. This movie, well, it introduces some characters that I really enjoy. It doesn't completely handle them properly. We get the introduction of Vision, Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, and Pietro Maximoff, aka Quicksilver. And they kill him off immediately. Spoiler alert. But at the same time, this came out fucking, I don't even know when, like 2014 or some shit like that. So not much of a spoiler, but I don't know, they just killed him off immediately, and I was just like, really, you're going to introduce a character and kill him off in the same movie? It has some issues balancing tones. Age of Ultron feels like a fucking overstatement. It's more of a minor setback of Ultron. It really doesn't last that long, so it's hard to like fully understand why they called it an Age of Ultron, because it really lasted like a fucking weekend. But I don't know, for the most part, there's things to enjoy about this movie, and there's a lot of things to not enjoy about this movie from a critical standpoint. If you're a Marvel shill, then you'll probably love this movie. But for me, you know, I love Marvel, but at the same time, I also critique movies fairly, and this movie just doesn't really do it for me. Also in C tier, I have the newest Black Widow movie, or the new Black Widow solo movie or whatever. I enjoyed it when I watched it. Thinking back on it, there's a lot of things I don't like about it. Again, I'm not going to go too in detail with the things I don't like, or else this would probably last like an hour, and also I'd have to go back and watch every single Marvel movie. But I don't know. I feel like we should have gotten this this origin story a lot. Or not origin story, really. It's really not. But a solo movie. I feel like we should have gotten it a lot sooner. And it just really wasn't that satisfying to me. There's characters I really enjoyed in it. But there's definitely certain plot points that I'm not a big fan of. Like the Taskmaster reveal. And just kind of the ending with the leader of the Red Room, I thought was a little corny and just kind of stupid. But the action was good and the characters were good. So for the most part, it's still a good movie, but I'm still going to put it in the C tier. Also in the C tier, I have Spider-Man Far From Home. There's a lot of things that I really loved about this movie. Spider-Man's one of my favorite superheroes. But at the same time, there's a lot of things I think are not great about this movie. The whole Mysterio thing, it's like Tony Stark saved half the universe. You're still mad at him because he called one of your fucking creations barf. Like, I get it. That's a fucking low blow. But at the same time, like, you could have fucking dusted away and he saved your goddamn life. So shut the fuck up. Stop being a little, you know, fucking asshole about it. He saved half the universe. So stop being mad about Tony Stark calling one of your creations barf. He literally is one of the best heroes of the Marvel Universe. He snapped his fingers, sacrificed his own goddamn life, and saved your ass. Like, maybe Mysterio didn't snap away, but at the same time, it's just like, stop being a little fucking whiny bitch about it. I know I'm swearing a lot about this, but just like, I'm really passionate about this shit, okay? also in the C tier, I have Thor, the original Thor movie. You know, I really do enjoy this movie. Chris Hemsworth is a perfect pick for Thor. Tom Hiddleston is a perfect pick for Loki. For those of you who didn't know, Loki originally tried out for the character of Thor, but obviously got casted as Loki. I like this movie for being a fish out of water movie. Thor obviously being sent to Earth to, you know, being banished to Earth. Doesn't have his hammer or anything like that. So it's a fish out of water, him learning what humanity is like. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, some of the cinematography, the angles of this film, and some of the designs I just didn't fully care for. And the villain, you know, having Loki be the villain is understandable, but at the same time, don't think they executed it as well as they could have. So that's why it's in the C tier. Last movie I have in the C tier is a brand spanking new Marvel movie, and that is Eternals. There's a lot of things I don't like about this movie. And there's a lot of things I do like, mainly just the characters. But I really don't enjoy just the way the story played out. I think it's a little overly convoluted. I think it jumps all over the place. And there's just a lot of things about this movie that I don't enjoy. So that's why I'm putting in the C tier. I'm, you know, disappointed that it had to end up in this tier, in the C tier. But at the same time, I couldn't imagine putting it up any higher. Again, it's disappointing, but, you know, I have to be honest. All right, in the B tier, I have Doctor Strange. I really do enjoy this movie. The visuals of this movie are amazing, and I really do enjoy the story. Overall, I don't think it's the best that Marvel has done, but I also don't think it's the worst, so it's kind of in the middle for me. Yeah. There's not a whole lot else I can say. I think Benedict Cumberbatch was amazing casting for Doctor Strange. And, yeah, can't wait to see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So that's all I got to really say about that. Also, in the B tier, I have Ant-Man. I really do enjoy this movie. Sometimes they... sometimes the comedy isn't all there for me. The villain wasn't all there for me either. But there's a lot to enjoy about this movie for sure. I really do love Paul Rudd as Scott Lang slash Ant-Man. I think he's perfect. Michael Douglas is also really good casting for Hank Pym. Hope Van Dyne, I thought, was a really good character too. Evangeline Lilly. But the villain of, what's his name? The Yellow Jacket. Can't remember the actor's name right now. But he was a little generic and, I don't know, had the typical villain motives. But yeah, that's why I'm putting it in the B tier. Also in the B tier, I have, unfortunately, Civil War. I really do love this movie. I think it's great. But at the same time, calling it Captain America Civil War, it should have been more like Avengers 2.5 or like Avengers Civil War, because it's, while it has a major focus on Captain America and Bucky Barnes as the Winter Soldier, at the same time, it just has way too many characters to fully call it a Captain America movie. And there's definitely issues I have with the film. But overall, I'm going to put it in the B tier just because it's never really been one of my favorites, but I still really enjoy it. Moving on to the A tier, I have the original Avengers film. I remember seeing this movie in the theaters when I was younger. I got out of school. My mom took me there. I did have a headache while watching it, but at the same time, I still enjoyed it. And I'm pretty sure I watched it at least one other time in the theater. But yeah, this is such a great movie. It introduces all the characters coming together, and you know, you can't beat that. It's classic. It's weird for me to call it a classic at this point, because it's still like early 2000s, or like 2010s, but still, for me, it's a classic. I still love Loki as the villain. It's a really fun movie, and it holds a special place in my heart. Also in the A tier, I have Black Panther. Excuse me. Got hiccups all of a sudden. Also in the A tier, I have Black Panther. I really do love this movie. A lot of the visuals are great. The villain of Killmonger is such a good villain. One of the best, to be honest. Chadwick Boseman, of course, is great as T'Challa slash Black Panther. I also really love M'Baku. All the characters in here are great, and I love having the kind of African representation in the MCU. The characters are fantastic, the CGI is fantastic, and the character designs I thought were really good. And finally getting Black Panther in the MCU, like, for his own solo movie was such a great time in the movie theater for me, and also just watching it at home too. Chadwick Boseman goes down in history as one of the best MCU characters. Unfortunately, he is not in my S tier, but he is in the A tier, so I'd say that's pretty good still. Also in the A tier, I have the original Iron Man movie, and this movie holds a special place in my heart because it's one of the few movies that I got to watch with my grandpa before he passed away, and I really would have loved for him to see all these different MCU movies and how far it's come. Just would have loved to see what he thought about them. But Iron Man always holds a special place in my heart because he's the grandfather of the MCU, and you wouldn't have an MCU without Iron Man. This movie is really fun and a great introduction to the MCU, so that's why it's in the A tier. Also in the A tier, I have Captain America, the First Avenger. It's not everybody's favorite, but I do love period pieces, so that's why I put it in the A tier. Captain America is one of my favorite Avengers characters in the whole MCU, so that's why I have it there. It might not be the greatest, but it holds a special place in my heart because I just really love that character and period pieces. So anything having to do during World War II, I usually am pretty interested in it. A tier as well, I have Captain America, the Winter Soldier, kind of a political thriller kind of movie. I really do love the introduction of Bucky Barnes as the Winter Soldier, having this kind of brainwashed character. Also, the introduction of Falcon I thought was really good too, Anthony Mackie. There's just a lot of elements to this movie that I really love, and there's very few things that I can think of that I really don't like. Having the whole, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. as a lot of SHIELD members as HYDRA members also, and kind of uncovering that is just really interesting to me, and has always been one of my favorite Marvel movies ever since I saw it. So that is why it's also in my A tier. Again, Captain America, love that character. And the last movie for my A tier, or actually, no, there's two more. Second to last movie in my A tier, I have Thor Ragnarok. I love the different tone that they went with this Thor movie, having it more comedic. I love Taika Waititi's direction on this film and having him as Korg as well. Korg is such a funny character. I have a lot of fun with this film whenever I watch it. And I think it's definitely the different direction that they needed to take Thor in order to make his story a little more interesting to me. Thor Ragnarok always entertains me whenever I watch it and remains one of my favorite Marvel movies. So that is why it's an A. Last movie in the A tier is Spider-Man Homecoming. I think Vulture is a really good villain. I also think Tom Holland did a really good job as Spider-Man in this film. He may not be my favorite Spider-Man. That's still going to be Tobey Maguire because I grew up with Tobey Maguire Spider-Man / Sam Raimi's. But I think he really did a great job with this film, kind of showing more of the kid aspect, because Tobey Maguire was like almost in his 30s when he played Spider-Man in the Sam Raimi franchise, and the first one at least. So he definitely, Tom Holland definitely pulled off being younger and more naive and just trying to do the right thing. I think Tony Stark had a really good role in this film as well, kind of being the mentor. And I just love the dynamic between him and Peter Parker. So this is a really great film. Maybe not in my S tier, but at the same time, I still really enjoy it. And Vulture, Michael Keaton, is such a perfect villain. He is one of my favorites that we've had in all the MCU so far. So that is why it's in my A tier. Now on to the S tier, I have Guardians of the Galaxy. This has been one of my favorite Marvel movies ever since it came out. Groot is such a great character. Love Rocket. Love Drax and Gamora and Star-Lord. I even love Yondu in this film. The villain might be a little forgettable, but at the same time, it sets up some more cosmic sides of the MCU that I really do enjoy. And there's just a lot to enjoy about this movie. It's heartfelt, it's funny, and action-packed. And I just have a great time with this movie whenever I do watch it. Next up in the S tier, I have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I've seen this movie more times than I can count. And it never ceases to enjoy me, for me to enjoy it. I can't wait for it to come out on Disney Plus. I'm going to watch it a million other times. I just enjoy all the characters. Awkwafina sometimes can be a little over the top, but in this film, I thought she did a really good job portraying the funny person / also kind of the badass person towards the end. Spoiler alert a little bit. But Shang-Chi is now one of my favorite Marvel characters in the MCU, and I can't wait to see more from him going forward. And the last two in my S tier might be obvious at this point. I have Infinity War and Endgame. You can't have Endgame without Infinity War. You can't have Infinity War without Endgame. These two movies are so perfect in the MCU. They're the culmination of 10 years of character development and story. And without these films, I don't think the MCU would be what it is today. Having Thanos as a villain, he's just such a perfect villain for these characters to go up against. And having Infinity War, spoiler alert, him winning at the end of it, is just like, you can't wait for an Endgame. It's like, and you had like two movies in between Endgame. You had Captain Marvel and Ant-Man and the Wasp. And you just could not wait to see how it all culminated and ended. And you couldn't wait to see all the characters come together to fucking kick the ass. kick Thanos' ass. Sorry, hiccups again. You couldn't wait to see Thanos get his ass kicked. And even Captain Marvel was enjoyable in this film to me, even though she didn't serve that much of a role. But, well, in Endgame, that is. Infinity War, I really do love, but I have to say I do like Endgame just a little bit more because it's more more conclusive. Even though Infinity War kind of has more of the characters in there. Endgame obviously does have a lot of characters, but Infinity War has all those characters that you've come to know, and has them all going up against Thanos and unfortunately not winning. But in Endgame, they are triumphant, and it's so great to watch them all come together and, you know, kick his ass and, you know, snap the fingers and dust him. And it's the last outing of Captain America and Iron Man. It was a really great finale, and I felt so weird coming out of that movie. It felt like the world was just different after I watched that movie. So I would definitely say, like, if there's anything above S tier, Avengers Endgame would go above all these other movies. So, yeah, there's my ranking for all of the Avengers. Well, not Avengers. There's my ranking for all of the MCU. Of course, I didn't get to explain all the movies here, but that's just mainly because I didn't go back and watch every single movie leading up to this tier list. But I hope you guys enjoyed listening to the tier list, and let's get on to talking about some movies. All right, Clifford the Big Red Dog is a 2021 film and is a live-action adaptation of both the Clifford books and the series, which I believe was on PBS Kids. When I was younger, I did read some of the books and watch the TV show, and I enjoyed it. It was never one of my, like, absolute favorites, but it's a really, really cute show and a really cute book as well. I'm a sucker for anything having to do with dogs, so yeah. It's directed by Walt Becker, who also directed some not very great films, to be honest. Old Dogs from 2009, Wild Hogs, what else? Van Wilder, he also directed, I think that's kind of it. But I know he's worked on one of the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies as well. I think it's the one Alvin and the Chipmunks movie I didn't see, which was like Road Chip. And I heard that movie is really bad. But the screenplay is by Jay Sherrick, hopefully I'm saying that right, and David Ron, as well as Blyce Hemingway, hopefully I'm saying his name right. The screen story is by Justin Malin and Ellen Rappaport, based on the Scholastic book series Clifford the Big Red Dog by Norman Bridwell. Cast, we have Darby Camp as Emily Elizabeth. She was in both of the Christmas Chronicles movies on Netflix. We also have Jack Whitehall as Uncle Casey, who was most recently in Jungle Cruise as McGregor, the brother of the main character there. We have Isaac Wang as Owen and John Cleese as Bridwell. A lot of comedians in here as well. We have Tony Hale as Tyrion, hopefully I'm saying that right. We also have, let's see here, Russell Peters as Malik. We got Paul Rodriguez as Alonso, Horatio Sands as Raul, David Alan Greer as Packard. Who else we got here? Keith Awell as Mr. Jarvis, Bear Allen Blaine as Mrs. Jarvis. Let's see, there's more comedians in this movie, but it's not listing. Oh yeah, there we go. A lot of SNL cast members here. Well, not a lot, mainly just like maybe two or three. Alex Moffat as Albert and Kenan Thompson as the vet. And let's see if there's anybody else that really sticks out to me here. None that I know from just looking at it. But yeah, this movie obviously is a live-action adaptation of Clifford the Big Red Dog. I believe it's in theaters and on Paramount Plus. I just watched it on Paramount Plus, to be honest. I wasn't going to spend my money on watching it in the theaters, but I was pleasantly surprised with the film. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. A lot of really funny characters in here, especially with all the comedians playing characters in here. Kenan Thompson was really funny. I also thought that Russell Peters was really funny as well. Alex Moffat was hilarious. Tony Hale was really great too. But yeah, I really like my voice just cracked there. I really like Jack Whitehall as Uncle Casey. I don't know. His character is really funny to me. At first, he was kind of annoying, but as time went on, I started to like his character a lot more. I think Darby Camp did a really great job as Emily Elizabeth, which is the same name of the character from both the books and the series. But the good things, I will say, it's really cute. There's a lot of moments that made me laugh out loud. And anything having to do with the dog, I usually like. The bad thing is the CGI on the dog is just awful. It's really bad. Even when he was a puppy all the way to when he was, you know, gigantic, the CGI did not look good whatsoever. You know, I wasn't expecting the CGI to be like Marvel Studios tier or anything like that, but I think they could have done a lot better with it. The plot, I thought, was pretty generic, kind of cut and paste from a lot of different movies like this. You have this cute little dog, and then when he gets gigantic, you know, the scientists are trying to take him away and study him, essentially, which I feel like we've seen quite a bit. Whenever we have a dog movie like this, there's always something where the dog gets taken away from the main character and then they have to go get him back. So it's pretty cut and paste, I would say. You know, there's a lot of cute moments with it. I think a lot of the actors did a really good job, you know, pretending like there's a dog in front of them when really, you know, it's just all CG. It's a cute movie, I will say that. I wasn't too impressed with it. You know, the characters and the actors did a good enough job with it. It's obviously not going to go on my top 10 best of this year, but I don't think it's going to end up on my top 10 worst. I had enough fun with it to the point where, you know, I would recommend it to, you know, parents with children and all that kind of stuff. But if you're just trying to watch this on your own, the only way you're going to like it is if you are a fan of Clifford the dog. And even then, you might not like it. Obviously, different from the series, the dog doesn't talk, which, you know, I can either take or leave. I'm fine with him just being kind of a regular dog, but obviously gigantic. There's a lot of funny moments with him and just him doing dog kind of stuff, like chasing after balls and you know, making messes and stuff like that. I don't know. It's fine. It's nothing I'm going to watch again unless I'm absolutely forced to or if I want to show it to one of my younger siblings. But overall, I think it is a pretty solid movie. It could have been a lot worse than what it actually was. So I'm going to give this movie a 5 out of 10. Yeah, it's not a bad movie by any means, but it's also not a great movie. Again, like I said, it's really cut and paste. It takes a lot of things from other movies, but yeah, it wasn't horrible. And I was expecting not to like it, and I liked it more than I thought I would. So that's why I'm giving it a 5 out of 10. Not a perfect movie, but also not a terrible movie. So I didn't absolutely hate every second I was watching it. There were moments where I kind of rolled my eyes, but I had fun with it for what it was. Again, I'm a sucker for dog movies. So that is my review for Clifford the Big Red Dog. Didn't really go too deep into, like, certain characters or anything like that. But, yeah, it's a pretty solid kids film, I would say. I definitely wouldn't pay money to go see it in the theaters. So if you have the availability to watch it on Paramount Plus, that's the best way to watch it. Because I really don't think it's absolutely necessary to watch it on the big screen. But once again, there's my review for Clifford the Big Red Dog. 5 out of 10. Let's go on to the next film. All right, Home Sweet Home Alone. Also, I have a bit of a stuffy nose, so my voice is a little bit nasally for this review. But this is only on Disney Plus, so if you want to watch it, you have to download that and subscribe if you don't already have Disney Plus. But if you do, it's free, essentially. But it's directed by Dan Mazur, or Mazur, hopefully I'm saying that right. I don't know. He also worked on the Borat films. It looks like he's worked on a lot of different Sacha Baron Cohen stuff. But yeah. Let's see here. The screenplay is by Mikey Day, which you probably know from SNL. It is also by Streeter Seidel. The story is by Mikey Day, Streeter Seidel, and John Hughes, who did the original Home Alone, and it's based on the screenplay of the original Home Alone films by John Hughes. It stars Ellie Kemper as Pam McKenzie, who you probably know from The Office or Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. We also have Rob Delaney as Jeff McKenzie, her husband, which I really loved Rob Delaney. He was just in a film that I watched recently. What was it? Ron's Gone Wrong. Yeah, that's right. We also have Archie Yates as Max Mercer, who is essentially the Kevin of this film. You might recognize him from Jojo Rabbit, which I really enjoyed him in. You also have Aisling Bea, or B, as Carol Mercer, his mother. Kenan Thompson as Gavin Washington. Pete Holmes as Uncle Blake. Who else we have here? Allie Mackey as May. Timothy Simmons as Hunter. And a big one here, we have Devin Rattray as Buzz McAllister, who is kind of a cameo in this as the police officer, which obviously he's the character from the original two Home Alone movies. And then Chris Parnell as Uncle Stu, who you might know as Jerry from Rick and Morty. But yeah, going into this film, I didn't expect a whole lot from it. But what I got at the end was a really fun film. I do love the original Home Alone movies. I do watch them every Christmas. And they're definitely my favorites. That and Elf. I love those movies. I do like the original Home Alone more than Home Alone 2 Lost in New York. But this movie was really enjoyable. If anything, it really made me want to go back and watch the original Home Alone film. But at the same time, I had a lot of fun with this. It basically got hiccups out of nowhere. Follows, and honestly, the kid in this film doesn't really have as much screen time as the couple in this film, Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney. Basically, they have a really valuable artifact that can kind of save their house because they're putting it on the market because they're running out of money. And they don't really want to tell their kids about it because they don't want to ruin Christmas. But they have this really valuable doll, which they're trying to sell, but after an open house, it goes missing. And they assume that Max Mercer, played by Archie Yates, took it because him and his mother attended that open house. And after that, it went missing. So, yeah, they just basically assume that the kid took it. In the beginning, this kid is quite the fucking asshole. I can't lie. He was a real jerk. And I didn't really like him in the beginning, but same kind of goes with the two main characters here, Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney. I thought they were just kind of idiots and in their own self-interest. Rob Delaney a little bit more than Ellie Kemper, but towards the end, I'm really not trying to spoil a whole lot here. You have these two, this couple who is really likable and you really feel for them, but at the same time they're committing, you know, breaking and entering, and they're idiots too, 100%. And if there's anything I like more than watching criminals get their asses handed to them, it's watching idiots get their asses handed to them. From a lot of the reviews I've heard of this film, a lot of people don't like that they have to suffer, even though they're a really good couple and really good people. But for me, I'm kind of a sociopath, so I really enjoyed the scenes where they were just getting absolutely demolished by this kid. And I don't know. It's really fun. That's the thing I like about Home Alone, is just watching the criminals get hurt. You know, even though the criminals in there deserved it, it's still fun watching them get into these traps that just should really just give them brain damage and possibly even kill them. There's a lot of scenes in here where I'm just like, yeah, these people probably wouldn't have survived in certain scenarios. But at the same time, I really did enjoy this movie a lot more than I thought I would. I would probably give this movie an 8 out of 10. I'm most likely going to watch it again. And I could see myself watching this every season around the Christmas time, just to like kind of enjoy it. I don't think it's as good as the original Home Alone, but you know, a lot of people were wondering, is this a reboot? Is this like a remake? It's kind of a continuation of the story, because again, you have Buzz McAllister in there. Sorry, I just burped there. That's kind of gross, but geez, hiccups are really getting me tonight. He plays a really small part in the movie, but it was still cool to see him. In the trailers, I was just like, wait, is that supposed to be grown-up Kevin McAllister? And then I realized, oh no, that's the actual actor that played Buzz in the original Home Alone. And I kind of felt like an idiot there, but it was really fun seeing him. And it definitely is a continuation of Home Alone rather than a full-on reboot or a remake. It's up to date, so it has more kind of, you know, typical things you see nowadays, kind of like an Alexa in there, not an actual Alexa, but something very similar to it. You know, you have references to the internet and all that kind of stuff, which obviously we didn't really have anything to do with that in the original Home Alone. I don't know, I just really enjoyed this movie. A lot of people are kind of, maybe not hating on it, but saying that they should have just left it alone and the original is better, which I do agree, the original is better, but at the same time, this is a really fun film. I had a lot of fun watching this movie. Rob Delaney is one of my favorite kind of comedic actors as of late, because I just enjoy seeing him. And whatever he does, he was really funny in Deadpool 2. Honestly, I haven't seen him in a whole lot or heard his voice in a whole lot, because obviously he's in Ron's Gone Wrong, which I didn't even realize until recently, but I guess he's also, oh yeah, he was in Tom and Jerry, which I enjoyed him in that. I guess he was in Wrath of Man, which I don't remember him being in that, but that's cool as well. He's been in a lot of movies lately, so he's definitely on the rise, which I think he deserves, because he's a really great actor. I love watching him in anything he does. Ellie Kemper, I'm not always the biggest fan of her. I know she kind of had a controversy, like, later on during the year, or, like, you know what I mean. She kind of had a controversy, but obviously I'm not going to get into that, because, like, I don't know. It's not that I don't care, it's just, like, it's irrelevant at this point. And I feel like we've gotten past that. But yeah, I really enjoyed her in this movie as well. And I really love her in The Office and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which I haven't really watched a lot of, but I really do enjoy her in that. A lot of really funny people in here. Got some SNL cast members and just like, you know, Mikey Day is even in this movie as a character, as the priest. We also have Jim Rash, which, what has he been? Oh yeah, he was in, Community, which I really do enjoy that film. He was also in Sky High and, in a film called The Way Way Back, which if you haven't watched that, I recommend you check it out, because that's a really good movie and a really good movie for kind of the summertime as well. He also played the Riddler in the Harley Quinn animated or kind of cartoon series. But again, I really had a lot of fun with this film. Like, it's cute, and it has a really wholesome ending. I was really hoping throughout, and this is kind of a spoiler, but at the same time, this isn't like a Marvel tier movie. There weren't really any repercussions to the couple in this film. Like, everything ended really wholesome, and just the way it all came together, I was just like, that's really cute, and it even brought a tear to my eye. That being said, I'm a really huge softie, so it's just like, anything that's kind of remotely family or having to do with, like, Christmas and being together during Christmas, like the original Home Alone and even Elf makes me tear up a little bit. So, like, if a movie like Elf makes me tear up, then a movie like this will make me tear up. Again, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 because I really did enjoy this movie, and I really recommend you guys check it out. I don't think everybody's going to like it as much as I did, but I'm kind of a sucker for this kind of stuff, so I can't believe I've been talking about this for over 11 minutes, but there is my review for Home Sweet Home Alone. Red Notice is a 2021 Netflix original film starring Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot. And Dwayne Johnson in here plays John Hartley, Agent John Hartley, who is going after a notorious art thief by the name of Nolan Booth, played by Ryan Reynolds. And also the person that Ryan Reynolds was hired by is the Bishop, played by Gal Gadot. So yeah, this is written and directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber, who also directed Skyscraper, Dodgeball, Central Intelligence, and We Are the Millers. Yeah, so pretty straightforward plot here. You just have this secret agent dude going after an art thief. But at the same time, this secret agent dude is framed and a wanted criminal now. So now he has to work with Nolan Booth to get these three eggs of Cleopatra and clear his name so he can arrest the bishop. All three of these actors do really well with their characters. I think Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds have really good chemistry on screen. I don't know if he's ever worked with Ryan Reynolds on something before. I guess he did have a small cameo in Free Guy. Other than that, I don't really think he's worked with Ryan Reynolds before. Not from what I see, at least, and not from what I remember. But yeah, they have really good chemistry in this movie. They have a really funny back and forth. A lot of people are getting really sick of the whole Ryan Reynolds kind of playing the same character in every movie. He's a lot more toned down in this movie. He still kind of has the Deadpool quips that we all kind of know him for at this point. But he doesn't overdo it, at least I feel like. Gal Gadot plays a really fun character in here as well. She's badass. She's sexy. Honestly, Gal Gadot is so hot. I am in love with her, but her character is even pretty cool. She's kind of the one that double-crosses people all the time. But yeah, I will say about this movie, there's a lot of moments in here that feel very Indiana Jones to me, going after, like, ancient artifacts and stuff. There's even a plot in there about, like, the Nazis and stuff, so that's pretty much pulled straight out of Indiana Jones. Ryan Reynolds is even whistling the Indiana Jones theme in one spot. And like a lot of Indiana Jones movies, a lot of them are set in the jungle. And while this movie isn't set in the jungle, there are scenes in the jungle, which at this point, Dwayne Johnson is known for being in movies where there's jungles, like Jungle Cruise and, the two Jumanji movies. But yeah, you could even count Moana into that. He does a lot of jungle movies, but, I don't know, I had fun with it. There were a lot of moments I laughed at, and then there were parts of it where I thought were dragging on too long, certain plot points I just wasn't really that interested in. You have Inspector Urvashi Das, hopefully I'm saying that right, played by Ritu Arya, who you might know from The Umbrella Academy. I thought her character was fine in the sense she's supposed to be a good guy. But at the same time, in the film, you just couldn't help but hate her because you really liked the main characters more. And she was trying to stop them, obviously. And so you just didn't like her in there. Which, I don't know. I can give or take, whatever. You also have Chris Dime... Oh my god. I can never pronounce this guy's name. Chris Diamantopoulos. Probably butchering that name. But most recently, he was Invincible as Donald Ferguson, which I really love that show. And Donald's a really fun character. He also played Aquaman in the Harley Quinn series. He's done a lot of voice work. But yeah, he was a fun character enough in this. He doesn't play a big role. But without getting into too many spoilers here, I thought the action was good. I thought the comedy was good. And the actors did a really good job as well. Again, I really like the dynamic between Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds. So that's something that I think people will really enjoy with this. Again, it's a Netflix original film, so if you want to go check it out and you have Netflix, go watch it. If you don't, I wouldn't say you have to like subscribe to Netflix just to watch this movie, but there's a lot of other good things on Netflix to watch. Not going to name anything at the moment, but if you're going to get Netflix anyway, you might as well check this movie out because I thought it was fun. It is being shown in select theaters. I don't really feel like it. You need to see it on the big screen, but if you want to, go right ahead. I'm going to give this movie a 6.5 out of 10. I don't really see myself watching this movie again, but if there was a sequel, I would watch that. And also, sometimes when there's sequels, I rewatch the first one just to... Or like, I guess sequels could be more than just, you know, two movies, so... Typically, when a sequel comes out, I like to try and watch the stuff before, even if I have seen them, just kind of to refresh my brain. But yeah, 6.5 out of 10. It's not a great movie, but I had a lot more fun with it than I thought I would. You know, there's a lot of tropes in there with heist movies and stuff like that, so not perfect. It's taken a lot from a lot of other movies, but I had fun with it for what it was. Also, there's a cameo from Ed Sheeran in there, so look out for that. But yeah, there's my review for the new Netflix original film, Red Notice. Side note about Red Notice, I just remembered that Ryan Reynolds was in Hobbs and Shaw, which The Rock was also in. Completely forgot about that, but wanted to add that note in so I didn't sound like a complete idiot. Alright, 2021's Ghostbusters Afterlife. So, this is basically about the grandchildren and the child of Egon Spengler, who was played by Harold Ramis, who passed away back in 2014. We have Finn Wolfhard as Trevor, McKenna Grace as Phoebe, Carrie Coon as Callie. We also have Logan Kim as Podcast. We also have Paul Rudd as Mr. Gruberson. And who else? Celeste O'Connor as Lucky. It's directed by Jason Reitman, who's the son of the director of the original Ghostbusters film, Ivan Reitman. It's written by Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman. And, yeah, basically, I already kind of said what it's about. It follows the grandchildren of Egon Spengler. And they move to this town where Egon left them an old creepy farmhouse, and they're kind of uncovering the secrets, finding out that he was a Ghostbuster, and weird things start to happen in this town. So they try to band together to figure out what's going on and try to stop it. Yeah, this is a really great film. Really funny, really touching, a lot of really heartfelt moments. Some of the standouts for me, McKenna Grace, first and foremost, did such a great job in this. She definitely screams Egon Spengler to me, but kind of in her own sense. I really loved her character. If anything, she's my favorite character in this film. My second favorite would probably be Logan Kim's Podcast, though. They call him that because he has a podcast where he talks about conspiracy theories and stuff like that. He's a really funny character. I also thought that Paul Rudd was a really great addition to the film as well. Honestly, I could see him as an honorary Ghostbuster. I think he'd be great as a Ghostbuster for sure. His character in particular kind of reminds me of Raymond Stantz just a little bit. You know, you have, which is played by Dan Aykroyd in the original. Raymond Stantz is the smart guy, but at the same time, you know, funny and charming, or at least I think. Peter Venkman, Bill Murray, he's more of the jokester, kind of the ladies' man. There's no real character in here. I thought was too much of that. If anything, though, in this film, Paul Rudd's supposed to be more like, what's his name? Louis Tully. And the mom in here, Carrie Coon, is supposed to be more like Sigourney Weaver's character, which might be a small spoiler if you are familiar with the original film. Another small spoiler, which the trailers kind of give it away, but the villain in here is, why am I forgetting the name? This is really going to bother me now. One second. I got this. Gozer. There we go. So you have like the keymaster and the gatekeeper. That kind of stuff. If you're unfamiliar with the original Ghostbusters, I mean, who doesn't know the original, but I'm sure there's kids out there who haven't seen it. Definitely isn't the most appropriate for kids looking back on it. But this is very, very much a lot better for kids, this film, for sure. You know, it has its moments where it's a little sexual and a little violent and all that kind of stuff, but it's very slight with that kind of stuff. And then language and all that kind of stuff too. But yeah, just a really fun film overall. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I could see myself watching this movie so many times. It's right up there with the original Ghostbusters. I'm going to be honest, I never really liked Ghostbusters 2 all that much. And with the all-female cast one, didn't really like that one, the 2016 one. Didn't think it was as bad as everybody was saying, but still, kind of a weak one. Yeah, what else do I want to say about this without spoiling anything? I'm not going to get into spoilers because I want you guys to go and see it. As of recording this, it's coming out the same day I post this episode. Hopefully it does well box office-wise. There's a lot to it that they didn't really advertise that I think would help the box office, but at the same time, I'd rather have people kind of see that in the movie for themselves. So yeah, I highly recommend you guys go check out this movie if you are a Ghostbusters fan. And if you're not really familiar with it, go check it out, because even if you're not too familiar with Ghostbusters, it's, you know, still something you can dive right into without having to watch the originals. I mean, there's references to the original and lots of Easter eggs, lots of kind of little nuggets for the people that are very familiar with Ghostbusters and have a special place in their heart for it, like I do. To be honest, I've never been like a diehard Ghostbusters fan, but this movie kind of changes that a little bit for me, because, I mean, for one thing, I could see them making more films with this cast. They left it open enough to do a sequel. Again, it just kind of depends on the box office and how well it performs, but it's only in theaters. If you guys want to go watch it, you have to watch it in the theaters. I do think that it should have come out more around Halloween time, but, you know, better late than never. I'm glad it didn't get pushed back to, like, next year. Really fun film, really funny, really heartwarming. A lot of the characters are just so, so perfect. McKenna Grace, once again, is a really great character as Phoebe in here. Kind of the nerdy, outcast, doesn't really wear her emotions on her sleeve. Kind of a tough cookie to crack, but when you do, you just kind of fall in love with the character. McKenna Grace and everything I've seen her in is fantastic. And I would rewatch the movie a million times over just for her performance. But yeah, there's my review for Ghostbusters Afterlife. Didn't want to get too deep into it because there's a lot to be spoiled, and I want people to go see this for themselves, especially since I want the movie to do really well. Not that, you know, me spoiling it would change anything, really. Wouldn't spoil things for so many people. But, you know, for my listeners, I'd rather have you guys go see it, you know, than hearing it from me. So, yeah, definitely go check out Ghostbusters Afterlife. Again, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I heavily enjoyed this movie. Like, I don't know if that's the right word there, but I really enjoyed it and can't wait for it to come out on DVD so I can buy it and watch it a million times over again. I could see myself seeing this in the theaters quite a few times. But yeah, that's the end of the episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Definitely a long episode today, but I don't know for sure if I'll be back next week. I know that I still need to review King Richard, the Serena Williams and Venus Williams film with Will Smith. Also, Encanto, the new Pixar movie, comes out next week, as well as House of Gucci with Adam Driver and Lady Gaga. And then there was one other thing. Oh, yeah, the new Resident Evil movie, which I'm not fully on board. I don't know if I'm going to see that, to be honest, because I haven't seen any of the other Resident Evil movies. I don't know anything about it, but maybe I'll check it out still. Also, The Harder They Fall, I believe it's called, the new Netflix movie with Idris Elba. Got to check that out still. And then I'm watching Maid currently, the Margaret Qualley limited series on Netflix. So maybe by the next episode, I'll be reviewing that if I continue watching it. But yeah, don't know if I'm going to post next week. Might do the whole bi-weekly thing like I've been doing. So we'll see. I'll definitely update you guys. But I am on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. Thank you guys very much for listening. Definitely a longer episode today. And I'll see you in the next one.